it. If you got it, then spin it, because you can't take this money with you, Rudy Vasquez.
Let's go, baby.
And then, of course, producer extraordinaire, the bathroom bandit, the Jew for Jesus, Statman Brett.
Yeah! Let's go.
All right, I like it.
I'm ready to go.
There we go.
I'm ready to go.
That's the energy I was searching for.
It's my favorite time of the year, y'all.
When there's, like, nothing going on in sports.
But everything's about to start.
Yeah.
Everything is
the
about
anticipation.
It's got me all antsy inside.
Yeah. Yeah, all right.
Tippy-tappy toes, everything.
Okay.
All right.
I'm ready to go.
Tippy-tappy toes.
Yeah, I like it.
Tippy-tappy toes.
I don't know what's supposed to mean, but okay.
Because, like, you know when you're, like, you're all excited and you, like, tippy-tappy your toes because you're so excited? Okay. That's me right now.
All right. Giddy as a schoolboy.
Do you know what he means, though, about tippy the tappy the toes? Me either. No idea, but...
It sounds like a tap dancing reference.
Do you need me to show you?
No.
No?
No.
I actually do.
You do?
Yeah.
It's like when you just kind of like... You're so exciting, you tippy tappies. Yeah, that's what happens. But it's a little bit more like... It's not as staged, not as like natural, but like that's how I feel.
Thank you for clarifying.
You're very welcome. Our Instagram audience, if you actually watch, you got to see a great example of tippy tappies.
Great call. You can check us out on Instagram. We are live right now. TBP talking about practice. TBP not a game. TBP not a game. Follow us. We'll follow you back. Message us. We'll probably message you back if it's fire.
If.
Otherwise.
If it's worthy of a response.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So. We're busy people, you know?
No, we're not. But it's okay.
No, I mean, we are, but
act
not
like
that busy.
We are, though. Derek, act like we are.
Derek, it's on you, sir. Where do you want to start? We have my thoughts on the Manti Te'o doc. Deshaun Watson getting an 11-game suspension. I asked the question, does anyone feel bad for Jared Goff? Foot and mouth, the KD saga, or Jason Tatum complaining about a fractured wrist during the finals?
Oh wow, they're all so exciting.
So tantalizing. This is why I wanted to throw it to you.
You really came up that this is a list right here.
Sure is.
It's hard to choose from this.
It is indeed a list.
They all smell the same to me.
Like roses.
Roses nonetheless. Yeah. Let's see. I feel like you came in talking about your Manti Te'o love. So I guess we'll hear your thoughts on it because you wanted to know if we watched it. None of us have, but apparently you are all about it.
So. Okay, but you do remember the story?
Yes, I remember the whole.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean it feels like just a long episode of Catfish is what I'm going to be watching.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, it's okay. Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. So for those, let's just rewind the audience. The year was 2012. Manti Te'o was the highest receiving vote getter for the Heisman vote for a defensive player in the history of the Heisman Award. Now, this was the same year, his senior year, he decided to come back and play for the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. And if you'll remember, if you take a trip down the Wayback Machine with me a decade ago, Manti Te'o lost his grandmother and, in quotes, his girlfriend the same day. And Manti Te'o was a figure that was bigger than life, you know, came from this really strong Hawaiian family and just seemed to be just a really good stand-up guy. And everything Notre Dame in particular, those Golden Domers were selling us, was all the Notre Dame nonsense that goes around with that aura about Manti Te'o just being pillar of the community, a great son, a great grandson, a great boyfriend, all these wonderful things. And what ended up happening is his girlfriend, quote-unquote, died. And quote-unquote, his girlfriend as well, because this was all fabricated. Manti Te'o was the first real public story of someone being catfished. And at the time, I don't think a lot of us understood what that really meant. But basically, he came out and said he lost his girlfriend. This girlfriend was a woman online who was essentially made up. A gentleman stole this woman's identity as far as swoop pictures from her Facebook and her MySpace and created I don't remember if it was MySpace, or I think it was a Facebook I think it was Facebook.
Yeah, I would say at this point in time, MySpace is dead.
Yeah, I think it was a Facebook profile. So he created a Facebook profile and befriended Manti Te'o, and it got a whole lot weirder. And this is what the documentary really explored, was how this gentleman would call Manti Te'o and talk in a woman's voice. He got his niece involved and just made this very elaborate lie. At one point, The girlfriend, again, quote unquote, died and then came back.
Was this an anti-Teo thing or an anti-fighting Irish thing?
The documentary?
No. The person who did the catfishing.
It was neither.
It was not just a random. He happened to be one of those situations.
Turns out this gentleman didn't know it at the time, but felt that he was always a woman, and began expressing himself by finding attention from other men online and befriending them, and then, you know, quote unquote, dating them, and then would always disappear right before die.
Yeah, just die.
Right before they met.
Quote unquote, die.
But this got really weird because in this case, I will just refer to them as they. I think that's the politically correct, because I think she identifies as a she, but I don't know that for sure now. So we'll just call them they. I think they did not anticipate getting in this deep, and they just kept the lie going. And the one thing that drove me crazy, and I'll let you guys decide for yourselves when you watch the doc, because I do think it's a good watch. It's not very long. The one thing that was really interesting is I didn't know that Manti Te'el, aside from saying that was his girlfriend, was not in on this at all. Because the way it was portrayed in the media was that he made this whole thing up and fabricated it to cover up a lie, which wasn't exactly true. And you watch this thing and you end up feeling a level of compassion for Manti Te'el. By the way, he got his teeth fixed and he looks amazing. Like, I was lightweight attracted to Manti Te'el. So I could see how he got catfished, because he's a good looking dude now. But anyway, you end up feeling pretty bad for him. And
for being that stupid, or?
Once they walk you through it, it's more night. Yes, it is a level of stupidity, but it was more of a level, to me, naivete that he kind of got caught up in. And you start to feel for him, because this person essentially ruined Manti Te'el's life. He was in the Heisman voting 2 years in a row, was a stud, and he fell to the second round, if you guys will remember, and didn't have much of an NFL career. And it just, everything kind of went sideways, and the person that led to all this trouble.
Do they have a name?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Okay,
all
right.
Naya, maybe? Renaya, I think, was his original name before he did the...
Gotcha.
Transition.
I'm glad we're going down this road right now. Yeah. Going back to
20- it feels like he got catfished too watching this.
Yeah.
What I thought though is, how many times in society do we do these to athletes and superstars, artists and whatnot, where we didn't have really the full story and we watch it and it's just like, whoa, like,
all the
time. It comes and goes real quick.
Do you guys have any empathy, or are you just like, whatever?
Not at all.
Not one bit.
Especially when you're that star-studded, man. Like, I get it. Like, we're still, 2012 is still kind of new into the social media era. We're still fresh into it. But that's still something you got to be, you know.
Come on, dude. Yeah.
You got to play the game smarter.
No, I agree.
And I can see why he fell to the second round. Like, clearly, you don't have the mental capacity to take on a lot of information.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't.
You get suckered into a lot of falsehoods, you know, a little false flags, you know, and that's not a good thing you want in football. And, like, someone puts up this defense but does something else, he's going to get suckered into that one defense all the time because he doesn't know.
Yeah.
He's got no capacity.
When they disguise their coverage.
He's surface level knowledge only. He can't dig deeper. He's only like, well, give it to me. I'm believing it. Boom.
Exactly.
Yeah, how are you going to hit the right hole if you're disguising their protections?
100%. Yeah, clearly see why he fell to the second round, you know?
Yeah, okay.
Glad you got this documentary to get himself back into, like, the limelight. Fair. People talking about him again, like us, or I should say you.
Yeah, he's all crying watching
the... He's like, oh, my God, dude.
I don't know how someone could just trick them themselves, or how could you date someone online without even?
I mean, this is the day and age now where that's happening all over the place.
It is. It's just. Yeah. It's crazy to me to think that.
I mean, when you're thirsty, you'll go for anything to drink. Okay, when there's anything that's somewhat drinkable out there, and you're thirsty. you're going to go for
well,
it.
Well, I would say, in general, maybe let's put this as a general rule of thumb. Don't call someone your significant other before you've actually met them in person, I think is probably a general good rule of thumb.
That should be just common sense, but the amount of people that don't do that is staggering. I mean, well, I think we're just all desperate for a connection, and some of us are so fearful of the act that they just want to stay behind a computer the entire time.
Right.
And it makes the rejection a lot easier.
Sure.
To them, at least.
I guess.
Still rejection.
But, yeah. I mean, gone are the days where your friends could say, yeah, I have a girlfriend. She goes to the other school.
Yeah, no, it's like, show me pictures of this girl right now.
Let me see her.
Yeah,
see her.
Let me,
she's on there someplace.
Yeah, like, 100%.
She's one of those that doesn't have a Facebook. Yeah. She doesn't have any old social media.
All right, well, go watch it. I think you guys would enjoy it. Let's move on. speaking of your lack of empathy, does anyone in their hearts at all feel a little bit of empathy for Jared Goff?
No,
none.
Not one
none.
Bit. I mean, full got you, a fat contract for nothing.
If you have been aware, I've never liked Jared Goff ever
you
since,
haven't.
Ever since the Rams Hard Knocks, where he realized the sun didn't know which way the sun set or rose.
And he's from California.
From California.
Yeah, born
and raised, you see a sunset every day in the Pacific Ocean.
Yes.
Every day. It's not like, oh, okay, well, Monday, Wednesdays, it goes down there. Tuesday, Thursdays, it's going down the mountain.
Every day,
it goes behind the Pacific Ocean. He didn't know that. And that just, as someone who's, again...
You were out immediately.
I was
that.
Out. No, yeah. I was like, you're stupid. You don't have this ability. Again, football is a game where you got to be smart out there. It's not just see person, hit person. It's like, all right, figure out play, find right hole, hit guy with the ball, don't kill him, but murder him at the same time. It's like this whole thing that's going on at once, and you got to be able to have the mental capacity to do it. And Jared Goff clearly did not, when you don't realize where the sun rose and set every single day. It's not changing. From here to eternity, it is set in the west and rose in the east. It's never been different. Never. If it goes different, we're screwed.
Yeah,
we're done.
We're not going to be
no
here.
More anymore. That's what happens. That's what happens. All right. So yes, no sympathy for Goff. The guy is he's a dumb dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a blonde haired just dumb dumb. I'm sorry. Went to Cal from his good looks and that arm.
Can I present the other argument?
Yeah, go for it.
And I agree with you.
Yeah,
for the
I
record.
Understand. Yeah, but yeah, gotta get someone to.
But he gets dumped by the Rams, and goes to Detroit. The Rams immediately thereafter win a Super Bowl, and he's in Detroit.
I mean, you should take it very personally and like really have some introspection and
go out there and ball out and be like, "Hey, I still got it."
You're not that good of a quarterback, and you're in Detroit.
he did it to himself at the same time.
No, I mean, not really. Like, the Rams did it to him.
Well, because he's not a good QB. That's why,
exactly.
You know? And Sean McVay's all, I'm done with you. You're out of here. I'm going to send you to the worst team in the league.
It does make it a lot better because I remember having a very vivid, not, I don't want to say vivid, but just a memorable experience with the Rams fan who wanted to go on how great Jared Goff was.
Was this Ken?
No, this is before I knew Ken.
Okay.
But it's someone at my old working establishment with good old sports pub. And I just wanted to go in on how great Jared Goff was. And I was like, no, I've never, obviously, known for years now, never been on the Jared Goff train. I hopped off. Never even thought about getting on. But the moment I heard that, I was like, okay, you might as well just take the rails off the map because he's not there anymore. And I thought the Rams were smart. Get rid of the guy. He's not going to take you to the Super Bowl. He tried because you have a great team around him. But he was that one piece, you know. So, it's tough in the NFL, but at the same point in time, dude, you're playing football.
Yeah.
You're still playing football, my man. Yeah.
Making millions of dollars. And you got a nice contract, by the way.
It is. You're living, you can say it's a tough job out there, but it's a nice, fun job. Like, there are millions, probably millions of people out there who would love to play that game. And it's interesting to think, because I don't know if you saw, was it Terrell Owens? Yeah, Terrell Owens was talking about how he went up when his time at the Canadian Football League, he said how he realized those guys can ball up there.
Yeah.
And it just makes you realize that there's only a select number of spots out there in the NFL.
Right.
And there are a lot more people that play football.
Yeah.
And a lot of people love playing that game.
Yeah.
And so, Jared Goff, you might be in a tough establishment with like a pretty crappy ownership in just a town that's like slightly falling apart. Not slightly. Has fallen apart completely. Yeah. But you still play football. You know? It's like, yeah.
Yeah. And you play in Detroit for 4 years, 134 mil. Yeah, he's chilling, guaranteed dude. 57.
Dude. Do you know how many houses you can buy in Detroit with that amount of money? Like, dude, that's like blocks and blocks and blocks. Yeah. Okay, dude,
you can buy a whole little suburb with that, dude.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, yeah, I know you're hard to bring to empathy. I was just wondering if we could make the case. I'm going to try and do it for KD later. So,
well, I want to hear that one.
Stick around for that. Your energy is phenomenal right now. You want to just jump into Foot and Mouth now?
Yeah, dude.
No,
yeah.
I don't want to hear this.
Let's go.
It might be a little tough.
And now it's time we take a deep dive into the world of soccer with the man responsible for such flashes of brilliance as
39 was last year, and he could barely throw a ball out at a barnside.
It's time for Derek Izumaki's Foot and Mouth.
USA, that is right. USA is in the Premier League, and they are making a stamp. Suck on it, Chelsea. How do them 1776 numbers feel again? Welcome back to the days of Lexington and Concord, of Bunker Hill. That's right. We're back, baby. Chelsea suffers the ultimate defeat at the hands of the American team, the American-led squad of Leeds United. Jesse Marsh takes his boys from Ellen Road. It makes a stamp in the Premier League, formally taking down the Blues of Chelsea.
Embarrassing.
Tough loss.
Disgusting.
In Ellen Road, as Chelsea came in, clear favorites. A team that had been playing well.
Played great last week. I don't know where they were this week.
They were going, had a night, they have a good squad. And Leeds United, wow, did they put up a game.
Hats off to them, man. They balled out.
They had some. The chances fell their way that day.
Yeah,
it's just one of those games where it goes your way. It's tough to go try to fight back against the way that's coming your way. But my goodness, a 3-0 defeat for Chelsea by, like I said, that hands of Leeds United, who took them down. And that's it. It was a tough game. Chelsea had that game. They were the dominant squad. But again, Leeds got the right balls the right way. And shouts to the man, Brendan Aaronson, an American over there as well, scoring for an American manager. Again, if you want to hop on a team right now and you want to have some American insight in there, Leeds United, that's your squad. They're a fun team as well. They have a lot of right history in behind them. And Ellen Road is known as one of the toughest places to play in the Premier League. So shouts to Leeds United for getting it done against the top dogs of Chelsea. We continue around the block as we look at my Man City, Newcastle United. My goodness, did they put on a show.
That was a great game. That was a really fun game to watch.
A 3-3 game that was nail-biter, tooth and
back and forth, back and forth.
100% how great that Man City team is. But Newcastle,
they got some players, dude. They got players, and they got money.
They got money, they got players, they got a stadium and a fan base that is wishing and yearning to be back to the top of the table, a place that they were once familiar with back in the days. Of the early 90s and thousands, with Shearer, Alan Shearer. He was their man, beating them to great victories back in the day. But now they've been mid-table oblivion and fighting their way up into the top six, and possibly could this season. But that's beside the point, because the real action is all about today. If you were lucky enough and had a nice little midday snack, a little Man United Liverpool, my goodness. And did we have the worst of thoughts for Man United? Myself and Rudy included thought it was going to be Liverpool's dream as they feasted on Man United last year in their two-game bouts. They devoured them 9-0. 9-0. That's pathetic in two games. That was last year, but this is not last year. This is this year. We thought Man United was even worse. They clearly were on paper to start off with, but no, they showed up and performed admirably. Came out firing. Should have been up one early, but Elanga misses a clearly wide open chance that bounces off the post. That doesn't faze them. They keep fighting back. And once again, they get up 2-0 into the 50th minute. Beautiful action by them. I got to say, Man United looks pretty good. As long as when they don't have Ronaldo out there, they have a young group of core talent.
They have great players. They do. They got a great squad.
Jadon Sancho! He could be your man. He's got to be the man for Man United. You brought him in for a lot of money. You start showing your worth right now, Sancho. Here's your time to shine. You too, Rashford. You did well. Rashford and Sancho both getting the goals for Man United. About time getting on the boards. Gavin 2-0 up. Liverpool, yeah, baby, goal. Liverpool did find their way back into it with a header from Salah. But it wasn't enough.
What's going on with Liverpool to start this year?
There is a lot of
confusion. I don't know, dude. It's weird.
They brought in some great young talent, but losing Sadio Mane and the whole Salah situation of him wanting to leave leaves a lot of teams uncertainty right there. Their midfield, while it was brilliant, kind of getting old. Jordan Henderson, a little old.
He's really old for soccer standards. For guy's only, what, 33, 34.
I mean, Nabi Keita, they've got Fabinho, so they do have some talent. But again, not quite the midfield you really truly want, I feel, that can truly match up with like the likes of Man City.
Yeah.
And like I said, not even, I wouldn't say they have, they want a quality player such as Bruno Fernandes. Little Bruno Fernandes for Man United, another great attacking. They don't have that attacking midfielder, I feel, that can really bring in the defense into the front. But they have a great front, though, with Firmino up there. They have Luis Diaz as well, and Darwin Nunez, who was out for this game because of that red card received in last game. And that's another player that didn't have. So not having him kind of limits their attack. But still, I wouldn't be so fearful for Liverpool. I still say they'll figure it out. Jurgen Klopp is a mastermind behind the helm. But still, you just got to get a little rust off there. Find your way on the team. It's a bunch of new players they got out there. They're trying to figure it out. Especially in attacking formation, because that attack was set in stone for quite some years.
That was perfect, man.
It was. Salah, Mane, Firmino. That was it.
Yeah.
Now it's changed up. They got to figure out their new playing partnership. That's the thing about football. It is such a feel game. You got to be able to know and have a connection with your teammates, unlike anything else. It's not, nothing's, their plays, but nothing's set in stone. You have to be able to roll with the punches. The waves come in different timing, and you got to be able to know when to ride them and when to not. That's the great thing about it. Gives anyone a chance at some point. So that is your Premier League. That is looking fantastic for them. Like I said, Man City giving you a 3-3 draw. So, but again, now the big stories are Arsenal. My goodness, Mikel Arteta giving himself a real vamp up in the fans of Arsenal right now. They are riding high. Arsenal is. They love where they're at. They are riding the table. They are currently the only team that is perfect right now. They are 3-0-0. The only team that has yet to drop any points this season as they once again handled their matches admirably as they took down Bournemouth 3-0 on the road. This is going to be a fun Arsenal team right now. Arsenal fans are really ripe. This is, could be a really fun year for them as they're going to be making a top fight for the top four in this league. Same with Tottenham, too. They maintained a good streak as well. Tottenham's going to have a good one. But again, this is a fun season right now, starting off to a great time. So keep your looks alive, y'all. Keep it alive. It's going to be a good year. And that's foot and mouth, y'all.
Very nice. Well done. A lot of stuff going on.
It is a lot.
To start
this. It
is
a lot,
EPL season in La Liga. Yeah, no, it's been fun. I haven't caught too much of it yet, but I've been watching the highlights and paying a modicum of attention so I can at least know what the hell you're talking about. So,
hey, I'm doing my best, man. This is the time right now to shine. There's great goals being scored. Got to give a shout-out to Che Adams over in Southampton, who scored a beautiful little
goal. I did see that.
Nice little dump-in from Ward-Prowse, who's probably one of the greatest with that at the ball. So Southampton, another fun team that's got a little bright future ahead of them. So this is going to be a fun year. There's a lot of good teams. A couple of great ones. A lot of good teams that can be making this top half of the table really fun to watch.
It's going to be tough.
All right.
It's going to be tough.
Speaking of it's going to be tough, I'm in a minute here going to attempt to make the case for Kevin Durant being a sympathetic figure. It's going to be tough, but we're going to try. Before we get to that, KD stays in the news, and I just wanted to ask you guys, do you think he's going to get traded prior to the season starting? I'll start with you, Brad.
No, I don't think it's going to happen because I think he's got too high of a price tag for that trade to happen, at least right now. He might lower as the season goes on, but not right now.
Rudy?
Yeah, I second Brad. I don't think he's going anywhere. The owner already told him the Nets are bigger than you, and we do what we want because you just signed a fat contract with us.
You got to go with that. You know, the money talks right now, the way he's contracted in. Again, I don't think there's any team out there that has the means to go after him that doesn't just deplete them completely and put them in a really bad spot. And as much as you want to have KD on your team, I don't know why you would. But as much as maybe the teams that would, he's still a star player. But still, you don't want that dingleberry anymore.
And he's 34 years old, 33 years old. He's old. You know,
he's been around for a minute. Yeah.
I mean, how often, though, do buyouts happen during a trade? In the NBA.
Well, no one's going to buy that contract out because he's
maxed out. Sorry. I'm saying, like, the Nets would buy that out to get a lot of, good players earn picks. They would just trade him outright but get a whole and keep the contract, but get a whole bunch of draft picks, whole bunch of players that...
But they wouldn't keep the contract.
I'm just saying that might be the only option they
There's
have.
There's no chance of that happening. They're not going to eat all that money. He's got a ton of money left on that contract. I believe he has 4 more years on this current contract. All right, let me try and make the case for him to be a sympathetic figure. So it was 2016. They're up 3-1 of the Warriors. Well, before that, let's go back a couple years. So was it 15 or 14? I think it was... It had to be... No, it was...
14 with OKC when they lost?
It was 2012 when they lost with OKC, 2012. Right?
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
Yeah, so they lose to Miami in 5... They then trade James Harden in OKC, and he's left with Russell Westbrook, which we all now know, horribly inefficient and limited player. He triple-doubles aside, horribly inefficient, and we're seeing that more and more as he ages. They lose after blowing a 3-1 lead to the Warriors, and that summer, that offseason, he decides that he's going to sign with the Warriors. I think that can be you can understand where he's coming from. He's in OKC, and really the only two teams that really had a shot at getting him at the time, I think it was the Celtics, the only two other teams. Washington was in the mix. Detroit was in the mix trying to get him. But really, the Warriors were the one team that had title aspirations. And he was walking into a system that he felt he could fit into immediately. So, you could kind of see it, right? Like, that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it made sense back then, yes.
Okay. A couple years later, after 3 title runs, his 3rd season there, he's absolutely miserable. He wins 2 titles, wins finals MVP, and still isn't getting the credit as being the best player in the league. And he's still not getting the credit. It's still Steph's team. And no matter what, in the Bay Area, Steph is a god. And it doesn't matter how great of a player you are, it's Steph's team, and it's always going to be Steph's team. So after not getting the validation he so desperately sought, he decided to go start his own squad in Brooklyn. Again,
that's where you lost me. Because you look at the history of the Warriors and what Steph did along with Klay and Draymond, him coming into that, he should have known, not only as a player but also as a fan of the game prior to this as a kid, you should see that's how fans work. It's just the history of fans. It doesn't matter how good the next player is, it's whoever brought that team out of irrelevancy is going to be the god in that city. And KD wanted to be the best, which is great. He can be considered the best out of all fandoms, but he wasn't going to be the best in San Francisco.
I mean, I think that's just the luck of the draw at this point in time when you come down to the draft. You know, when you got drafted by the Seattle Supersonics that turned into the OKC, that was essentially the mark right there. Because to become a great player, you look at all the real true great players, they all made a mark with one team and had a big long stance with that one team and took that team to great heights where they love really grew for that one player. And I think at this point in time, KD is essentially a hired assassin now, and you have to realize that's his role. And to become the greatest of all time, you have to have essentially that kind of love behind you. While LeBron had it with Cleveland and did it there, he might have bounced around a little bit in that time, but still found a way to bring that title back to Cleveland, so he got that love. Kobe Bryant, obviously the Lakers, Dirk Nowitzki, the Mavs, Tim Duncan, the Spurs, Michael Jordan, the Bulls, the list goes on. But the teams that, you know, the guys that go to certain teams that just don't have it there is endless too. You know, there's a number of guys, great players that went to just faulty franchises that just don't have everything together to become the true champion, to have it all, to know the wherewithal of what to bring in. And that's just some players, and that was essentially KD. And you, to be able to search it out now, you have to go to those certain spots. You have to become that hired assassin and accept that role. And you're not going to receive the love that Steph's got or anyone else that has been with that franchise and took them to new heights. You haven't taken anyone to new heights yet. You've been moving around the league and trying to find your heights yourself, you know?
And you went to the highest of highs to win the championships that you won. But also think about Dwayne Wade. he was still beloved, even though you had Chris Bosh and LeBron James above LeBron James. It was just they were winning championships there. And then once they left, Dwayne Wade came back to his love that Miami had for him.
Yeah.
And even when he went away to Chicago, the love was still there in Miami. So it's one of those things that KD will never have that again because of what he did to OKC and scorned them in the way that he left.
That's fair. Would you be willing to entertain the argument that he just chose the wrong teammate to go to Brooklyn with?
100 I mean, Kyrie is a cancer within himself, you know. And I think that's something that you got to realize when you pick your friends. You got to pick them wisely. And as much as you want to like Kyrie and the style of the play and his free thought, quote unquote, process he goes through, it really is just showing you a guy who's like an unstable mental plane right now, and that's something you got to be wary of, and especially if you want to go into an 82 game season, and not just that, essentially a partnership for that season, for that life, for how many years you're going to be there. That's your guy. You're going to win or die with that guy, you know.
Yeah.
And are you willing to go into battle with Kyrie, who's going to be in his feels all the time? No, you need a guy that's going to be able to put away the feelings at some point and realize, I got a job to do. This is a team that needs me, and I need to perform for them.
Yeah.
And Kyrie is not that guy.
And he's,
clearly.
Yeah, I mean, listen, regardless of how you feel over getting the shot or not, Kyrie is a really tough figure to defend because he's just a rebel without a cause here. Because all the conversation he had around why he didn't kind of made no sense.
You know, he really is. His thought process, I feel, behind not doing it is very self-centered.
Yep.
I'm not going for the shot or not. I believe in having your own thought process on that. That's
sure.
One thing. But he goes much further than just his views on the vaccination and whatnot. It goes much further past
sure.
that.
But the fact that you wouldn't take the shot knowing that this was going to negatively impact the rest of your team. And if you're someone who's like, I want to keep my body organic, all these things, and, you know, I have all these convictions behind it. Okay, I'll listen to that. But he didn't really have any conviction other than, yeah, I don't really want to do it.
And again, if that's the case right now, you should have, you know, hey, New York should have the wherewithal, hey, we're going to get this guy out of here then. You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's at that point in time, like, hey, we got it. This guy doesn't want to get the shot. Fine. You had that right. We're going to get you out and find somebody who is going to be able to do it with us. You know, and Kyrie clearly wasn't that guy, and they should have realized that long before this, I think, situation even happened.
Okay, fair enough. We're settling on no empathy.
No empathy, but I can entertain the thought that he took the wrong guy to go to Brooklyn. I have no problem with that statement either.
And also, I have no problem with him making the moves to find a championship. Every guy wants to get a championship, and you can't do it with the team that initially took you there. And I think that, not always. You can't always do it. That's a rare find. That's greatness right there, you know? And
either that or good recruiting.
Good recruiting.
On your end or the team's end.
And he didn't. They didn't have that clearly in OKC, you know?
That's
it wasn't that destination of the spot. Even though they had the talent, they didn't have the management and nor wherewithal to how to handle the talent. And that's, it's tough. Only one team wins the championship every year, you know.
That's totally
there's
fair.
30 teams in it. That's those are low odds.
Those
are not the highest of odds right there. And whenever you're drafted, again, you got 30 teams vying for you, and if you're really good, you get usually the crappier teams having a better shot at you. So it's tough. It's a tough league. I wish there's a better way to circumvent that. But no, it's at this point in time, there's no foreseeable change in that happening.
Yeah. All fair. So,
okay.
We're riding with
them. I mean, again, I'm still going to give the guy his props and say that he's great, you know, but no sympathy. You dug your grave, you made your bed.
Well, plus he made out like a bandit. And he's, like you were saying, 4 years left, almost $200 million in that contract. And it's 44, 47, 51, and 54 million the next 4 years. I have no sympathy for somebody that makes that much and is gonna.
And you're
complain.
Playing basketball, playing.
Yeah,
you know,
I
you
am
play basketball.
So
you know,
not
man,
sorry
you know,
for that.
You play basketball, thinking that there are guys who still play basketball and don't get anywhere near that, and there are guys who desperately want to play basketball who aren't.
Okay.
So sorry, KD.
All right. So just for the record, Manti Te'o, zero empathy.
No.
Yep.
Jared Goff, zero empathy.
Yep.
And Kevin Durant, no empathy.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna keep trying this throughout the year until we get to someone we have empathy for.
Try somebody that doesn't have $1 million in the back of their contract.
How am I gonna do that in professional sports, Brad?
You're not. I'm sorry.
All right. So it always comes down to money.
For my, I mean, for my empathy, like, yes.
You know, if I want to feel sorry for somebody's, at least somebody, some lives got to be lost, you know?
Exactly.
Like, unfortunately.
I want to see their, like, parents lives die gotta be for lost. Me to be like,
or some,
sorry,
or some serious backstabbing that it went about, you know?
Okay. That's where my empathy.
Some serious et tu brute, okay?
All right. That's what you mean, all right? I'm going to keep looking for it. I'm going to keep searching. We'll break through at some point. Probably not. This is FM 90.1 KZFR, Chico, California, People Powered Community Radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills and beyond. Talking about practice right now. Jerome, Derek, Rudy, Statman, and Brad all in the building. I want to give a big shout out to our friends over at Baker's Birkenstock, featuring more than 40 brands of footwear, socks, purses, and hats. Baker's Birkenstock has been serving our community for over 40 years with locations at 333 Broadway Street in downtown Chico and at 691 First Street in Paradise. You can also find them on Facebook. So shout out to our friends at Chico Velo and Baker's Birkenstocks. Appreciate all the support. If you want to support, you can jump online right now, kzfr.org, and tip the show. It's pretty simple. Keep us independent. Keep us away from commercial radio.
I love how last week I made a remark of saying how much I liked Halo for being Halo Breast Center.
And they got out of here.
They got out of here. Yeah. They're like, no. Down with those guys.
We don't like you anymore.
Nope. We're out. Nope. Yeah. Not those guys. Anybody but them two.
Yeah.
All right.
It happens.
We're a special radio show. Only a few can handle us.
You want to catch people up on the news?
Yeah, please.
All right.
Yeah.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news, breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
That is right, y'all. Time for
the news.
We got some doozies, guys. We got some doozies. We're going to touch some boundaries that might be a little scary for some, but necessary for me.
Love touching a good boundary.
Right? So let us go. Before we get into the serious
boundary.
Boundary. Thank you. I want to say bounty for some reason. Boundary. Bounty, boundary.
I love there a good we bounty go. As well.
I prefer, yes, a little bounty is nice. Yeah. That being said, if you are listening to the show, we know we're fans of our dive bar world, right? We like our dive bars. We love our crappy American lagers. All about it. You give me the champagne of beers and I'm living the high life. Pun intended. But the high life wants to get a little higher. I won't say that. That incorporates a little marijuana reference where I do not. They want to take their high life experience and make it more champagne-y of beers, I guess. That still doesn't make sense. They're trying to make an ice cream. That's right. So Miller High Life has partnered themselves with a Tipsy Scoop to make a beer-infused ice cream.
Interesting.
It's going to have supposed to be like dive bar in likeness. So I did see one comment that said cocaine and piss, and I thought that was that's a dive bar right there. Yeah, that's a proper dive bar. But no, they said it's going to be obviously beer, peanut swirls, smoke, caramel, and a little fudge. So
interesting.
And a nice little cigarette butt to top it off.
Hey.
You know? Yeah, that's your cherry on top.
Now we're cigarette talking.
Butt. Now we're cooking properly. So if you're desperate to have the essence of dive bar and ice cream, look for your Miller High Life. It's gotcha. But I will say, Miller High Life and dive bars do go hand in hand.
Yes.
It is a proper connection.
Correct.
They do, they belong like peas and carrots, you know? Peanut butter and jelly.
There we go.
Yeah, nice.
I was hoping maybe some of you would throw in some classic combos, you know. But I guess not.
I got nothing for you.
Cocaine and cookers, you know, that's classic combos. Okay, yeah. All right, well, we'll keep moving on because we're in the cocaine world right now. We might as well talk about cocaine and how Colorado is your capital, cocaine capital of the of America right now.
No way.
Yeah, Colorado.
Colorado.
Yeah.
Damn.
Colorado.
Rocky Mountain High.
They are doing, they're skiing the slopes many
love
times.
That for them.
They really do.
Love that.
Both ways.
All of them. You know, they got slopes for days out there, and they are definitely seeing an uptick in their cocaine use. And it's scary because according to a survey, it said a increase in 2.24% of population 12 or older has reported using cocaine in the past year. So 12 years or older. We're starting them younger over there. All right? Get skiing early, kids. All right?
Oh, my God. That's bad.
That is pretty bad. Yeah.
That's really bad.
Hey, get them on them young. They stay on for longer. You know what I'm saying?
That's a great point.
Right? That's
that
called...
That would be my entire strategy.
That's called capitalism, y'all. Okay?
Lifetime customer right there.
Now, we go from the Colorado and cocaine usage to a big fight against... I'm sorry. The fight against Native Americans is taking a big, big stop this week. As a bill from 1864 was finally rescinded, in which it called upon all Coloradoans. Can you look that up? What do we call people from Colorado? Do we have an idea, Brad?
Coloradoans.
Well, either way, stop Coloradoans to kill Native Americans on the spot and take their land. Yes, there was an order in 1864 that was signed on by the territorial governor of John Evans, where it said all people to take down the Native Americans and take their land. We've already done that, so we did a good job. Obviously, they fulfilled that old order.
We
kind of won, you know? We just kind of won. We did win. Sorry, Native Americans. You were so susceptible to alcohol and disease. Tough. Do you have an idea, Coloradoans?
Give me a second. Okay. I'm working on it.
By the way, Colorado, good on you. Finally, stopping the fight against the Native Americans. 1864. Took you that long. Wow. Good to know. I wonder if anyone was, like, living out that order still, you know? I got to. Dude, it says it in there. We have to. It's a duty.
It's my job to do this.
All right? It's my job as a Coloradoan. Coloradoan.
Actually, you got it right that last time.
Coloradoan?
Coloradoan.
Coloradoan!
There is an O at the very end of it. I am shocked as you are. Damn, this actually comes from the University of Colorado, okay. So right. there's your facts.
It's just a lot easier to say we're California, we're Californians, you know? It makes it a lot easier.
Simple.
Yeah. Like, what are you from Illinois? Illinoisan?
Illinois.
An Illini? That's a tribe, actually. A Native American tribe is the Illini. Like in Indiana, Indianan. Like, you know, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Nebraska, Nebraskan. But Illinois, what are you? Illinoisan? I want to know.
Illini?
I just said Illini. I already said
that's my guess.
I'm pretty sure that's maybe. All right, well, hey, that's the news, y'all. I floundered at the end. That's how I like it. Cheers.
Oh, excellent as always. Thank you, sir. Let's class up the show a bit and bring in our gal, our foreign correspondent, Erin. Erin, hello.
How we going, guys?
We're doing all right over here. We're just, you know, struggling with English as we typically do. I do want to get to this fight from this past weekend, but let's talk some golf and save that for last. So we had a PGA Tour event, and I wanted you to catch the folks up on what happened at the BMW Championship this weekend.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It was not the most entertaining golf. It was the BMW Championship. Day four came down to Patrick Cantlay and Scott Stallings. There was a little bit of back and forth, but, you know, Cantlay ended up being able to par the 18th after hitting it into the bunker from the tee. He parred it, ended up winning it all. He defended the title from last year, which is actually pretty impressive. You got to give it to him. So next week they go into the Tour Championship at East Lake Golf Club in Atlanta. Scottie Scheffler gets the top spot. Patrick Cantlay gets the spot number two. And that was kind of the most exciting thing at the BMW Championship. I should have mentioned this to you, but I wanted to talk about this this Patrick Reed lawsuit. I don't know if anyone heard about it.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah, the most interesting part of golf in the last 7 days, Patrick Reed filed a lawsuit against the Golf Channel and in particular Brandel Chamblee for essentially defamation. $750 million.
What?
Claiming emotional distress for, defamation. He's claiming he's, like, lost sponsorship. It's very on par for Patrick Reed. It's embarrassing. It's petty. They literally list the names that he's been called on the golf course. He basically compares himself to Tiger Woods, and in the lawsuit, they don't even spell Tiger Woods' name right.
My God.
It's wild, and I can't really make heads or tails of it.
It's everything you said. It's petty, and it's just he's grasping at straws here, and I think, personally, it's hilarious. what are we doing here? You were called names on the tour. Like, you're in the public eye. Like, this is what it is. We're talking about empathy all show, and let me tell you, I have zero empathy for this guy trying to get a cash grab here. No one cares. No one thinks about Patrick Reed that much. And he really outkicked his coverage on this because this is just absolutely ridiculous.
But at the same time, he might get something out of it.
I mean, if he gets a settlement, good for him.
I think he will. I don't think he's going to get $750 million, but
no.
he'll get something out of it. So we'll see.
We'll see. All right. Do you want to move on to the...
Maybe to make you go away, yeah.
Do you want to move on to this fight? Because this knockout was insane.
Yeah. This was, the craziest fight almost ever. Leon Edwards knocked out Kamaru Usman with a left head kick at the 4-minute and 4-second mark of the fifth round to win the welterweight championship title. If you haven't seen it, hopefully you've seen it. Crazy. Absolutely just puts him to sleep. And I was really happy to see, too, after he knocked him out, he didn't go for extra punches. So, like, that was really nice to see.
That was one of the craziest parts is he knocked him out so clean. He immediately just threw his hands in the air and knew he won it. And if you watch the fight, Usman had control of that fight. That fight was going Usman's way. He was 54 or 56 seconds away from victory and tying the record for most consecutive wins in UFC history and gets absolutely knocked out, cold cocked, just this beautiful left kick to the dome and lights out and loses the welterweight title.
Yeah, it was absolutely insane. And the craziest part, too, is you're right. Like, Usman was winning the whole time. He was 56 seconds away from, retaining his title. And Edwards, just pinpoint accuracy, absolutely incredible. And I know people are over it. They don't think it's that impressive, but Joe Rogan's reaction, along with John Anik and Daniel Cormier, it doesn't get old to me.
Yeah,
it's almost more entertaining than seeing Usman get put to sleep.
Yeah, no,
and that in everyone's pockets too.
Oh yeah, he was
90% of people betted on him. Everyone and their mom, grandmas, great grandmas, their kids.
Yep,
everyone.
Yeah. But on Usman or
Usman, including your boy.
Yeah, Edwards was what was he, 3-1?
Dude, he was -355, bro.
Yeah.
It was insane. It was that bad, and
+355, or
where Usman was
Usman was -355, and then the other bet was under 5 rounds, and that was at -220, I believe. Mm. So,
well, he lost them all.
Oh yeah, everyone did.
Yeah,
well.
You got anything else for us, Aaron, on your way out?
That's it, but hopefully we'll have some good golf stuff next week.
Sounds good. Thanks as always, and we will chat with you next week.
Talk to you later, guys.
Later, Aaron. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Where do we want to go here? Do we want to do Rudy's picks? You guys call the show.
I mean, I feel like Rudy needs to redeem himself because he's had a terrible time.
Yeah.
Or do we set people up for... I mean, we can set people up for failure again.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Come on.
We're going to give him the old intro.
Hey, it's me. Knock, knock. So, you got my money? You going to give me my money? Where's my money, man?
You
said turn it up.
All right. Last week was ugly, ugly, ugly. Your boy couldn't pick anything. I was chasing left and right, live betting the Giants. Who does that? Giants suck. Anywho, soccer, yeah, we all know what happened there. I went 1-for-3. No, 2-for-4. Still lost. It doesn't matter. And Usman, I didn't say that on air, but that was a last-minute bet. Anywho, that's last week. Today is Monday. Let's go get that money, baby. Let's get it.
Let's chase.
So I got the Phillies are playing the Reds, and you know how I love betting against those Reds. They're playing a 4-game series. We're going to bet every single game. We're going to win at least 3 out of 4 of those. And then I didn't really like anything else besides that until Friday. We got the Dodgers playing on the road against Miami. And we're going to bet every single one of those games as well.
All right.
So it's time to make this money back, boys, because once your boy is down, there's only one way to go up, and that is up.
So. I mean, you go further down. Like, you go 6 feet down.
It ain't going to happen. Yeah. It ain't going
to
happen.
I mean, but you got to spend money to make money, am I right?
Exactly. Scared money don't make money, baby. Let's go get it. Let's go.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. Thank you, sir. Do you have a useless stat of the day, sir?
I do.
All right. I don't have a drop for you.
That's fine.
I don't know where it went. But
wow, you had a drop last week, but not this week.
I was just searching for it.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay.
You got it.
So, useless stat of the day. There are 42 games left for the St. Louis Cardinals. Albert Pujols has 8 more home runs till he hits the 700 club.
Oh, damn.
He has 4 more home runs to tie Alex Rodriguez. So, that's what he has to look forward to the last part of his career. I'm really hoping that if he doesn't hit 700, he does come back until he does hit it, just to kind of come back. And I'm sure there's somebody out there that will put him in as a DH.
He's already said he's done after this.
Yeah, he said he's done.
Again, I said I would hope.
Okay.
And I knew he was going to retire, but one could only hope.
Confirmed it though.
Plus, he has the playoffs too.
But that doesn't count towards your home run totals. It's only regular seasons.
No way, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know
Yeah, they have like their playoff home run stats, but that's regular season.
Category.
Yeah, regular season's the only thing that matters.
I did not know that.
So,
huh.
Yep. He has 8 more to go for the 700 club, 4 more to tie Alex Rodriguez, 5 to take him over, which that's all I really want. Like, if he can't get the 700, at least overtake Alex Rodriguez. Hey, drop him down one more spot. And there's really no one anywhere close to that.
If it ever came out that he was juicing, I think that there would be a legitimate, like, people jumping out their windows and killing themselves because they just don't want to live in that world where Albert Pujols was juicing.
I mean, we made it past Ken Griffey, so
yeah.
I think that one would have had people.
No, now this Albert Pujols is like the poster boy of being clean.
Yes. Yeah. Well, so was Ken Griffey back then because he had all that juicing era, and he was competing with everyone else, with McGuire, with Sosa, and with Bonds. So
shaded Ken Griffey right there, man.
Yeah. So, that's my use of stat.
All right, did you want to give the folks a North State preview?
It's a North State preview. Ladies and gentlemen, it is that time of the season. I am stoked for this time of the season. They've had a few exhibitions for soccer, but regular season starts out this week. Chico State men's soccer is playing in Washington, playing against Seattle Pacific and Western Washington, the 25th and 27th. Going to women's soccer, they're starting off their season at home against Academy of Art, and then on Sunday at Fresno Pacific. Going to women's volleyball for Chico State, they're going to be heading down to William Jessup in Rockland. They'll be playing Southern Oregon, William Jessup, and Simpson University for the William Jessup Invitational. Season is kicking off for Chico State. Now going to prep football, Pleasant Valley coming back and hoping to have a great season. They're starting the season off this Friday against Corning, 7:30 p.m. It's going to be at Corning, so check them out in Corning. Chico playing against Sutter at 7:15. It's going to be an away game in Sutter. And last but not least, Durham against Willows. It is the rivalry game. Usually you see Chico and Peavy playing the Almond Bowl at the end of the year. Unfortunately, we're going to see the Durham and Willows game, which is the Rice Bowl, the first game of the season. So I like to see those rivalry games near down closer to the end when you kind of have a few more games in you. But we're going to get a little bit of rivalry game at the beginning of the season against Durham Willows. And that is your North State update preview.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we did bad dating advice last week, but I got one here that is more bad life advice. And so I thought this was perfect to share with the group, all right? So I need you guys' help.
Okay.
It's a little longer, but it was entitled Cheap Ass Friend.
Sweet.
So my longtime friend, we'll call him Chris, is a cheap ass, and I need help on how to address this. A group of my guys who have all been friends since college or earlier, we do one trip a year together. On our most recent trip, we decided to go to San Diego and rent a house together. One of my buddies who lived in the area said that he would handle all the food and booze, and we could split up everything after the trip. I decided to book the house and have everyone just pay me, and we would sort it out after as well. I told everyone the ballpark cost of the house for the weekend, and everyone, including Chris, agreed to the price. After the weekend, when my buddy sent him the bill for food and booze, he sent him considerably less money than requested and said he didn't eat one of the lunches and he didn't eat lunches a couple of the days, and he only drank a certain whiskey, so he shouldn't have to pay for all the food and booze that he didn't consume. To make matters worse, he also rejected my payment request and told me that since he had to share a room, he shouldn't have to pay the same amount as the two guys who didn't share rooms. He does have a history of doing things like this and has been getting away with it forever. He has a decent job, and you would think he has the money put away to pay his share for these trips, and it wouldn't be a big deal. How should I approach this situation? Should I get the other guys in my group involved to confront him? Should I just stop inviting him? How would you guys handle this sitch? So, I think we all know someone who will go out to a group dinner and order more drinks than everyone else, and then split the bill evenly, and they feel like they're getting one over. I think we know the person who always wants to see the bill and make sure that they're getting properly sorted out. So what do you boys think? In this particular situation, like, the whole, hey, I only ate that. If this is agreed to on the front end, like, listen, whatever. Sometimes you're going to come out over, sometimes you're going to come out under, but, like...
You know, I get it. Like, I'm the person that's I find that very petty and very annoying when people are like that. At the same point in time, I think if you have that friend, you just got to cut them off and say, you're on your own then. You're buying your own food. You're buying your own drinks. You know, this is for us. You're on your own then.
Yeah.
You know, like, if we're not going to – we'll tell you you're on your own tab then from here on out. You know, like, what just makes you – make you just feel that special that you're only paying for yourself. And it just seems like, yeah, that's just – I mean, if that's what your guy wants to be, then, hey, that's just his personality. And but still, it just seems very petty on his behalf.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's just, yo, man, you're paying for the times out there, you know? Stop counting the dollars, you know?
Well, and if this stuff is discussed on the front end, right? Like, if it was discussed on the front end, hey, we're going to pay a little bit more, or hey, there's two of the rooms or whatever, a couple of boys are going to have to shack up together. It's just the way it is, first come, first serve type deal. And we're splitting it even. It is what it is. And he agreed to that, then he really doesn't have a leg to stand on. You know? And maybe what you do is you just get the money up front. You say, hey, man, you're not staying here till I'm paid. Like, we've had issues with this in the past. You're not staying here. You can't stay with us unless you pay. But trying to get specific as to what you did or did not consume.
Yeah, dude, that's not cool.
That's ridiculous. This guy was kind enough to get everyone enough food and enough drinks to last the weekend, you know, and you're still, I'm sure, going out to dinner and getting food and stuff like that. But I'm sure everything he brought, he didn't drink or eat either. He was just trying to look out for the greater good. I don't know how many guys are involved, but if there's a bunch of people, you're not going to, everyone's not going to have 6.5 beers and 12 shots, you know, and 2 burgers and, you know, 1/4 a bag of chips. Like, that's not how it breaks down. Nope. So it's just like, I think I would just mention it to him and say, hey, if you want to pull this again, listen, you're either going to have to pay on the front end, or I like Derek's suggestion.
Yeah, just have him on the side.
Yeah.
We're all going to stay here this weekend.
You can figure out your own arrangements.
Yeah, we'll be there.
Yeah.
Meet us there.
Meet us there.
We're all going to dinner. Figure out your own tab.
Yeah, you can come on there. Yeah. He's on your own.
Sit at the table next to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think absolutely, though, address it. Don't let this thing continue to fester.
Money's money, man. That's your money.
Yeah,
man.
And if you guys have been friends for a while, like, definitely don't let this ruin it. Just let him know he's a cheapskate.
Yeah, or do like a payment plan or something, dude.
Yeah.
I don't have it all right now. Yeah. Here's $100. I'll give you another $100 in a few weeks or X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've done that for a lot of my trips, but I've told my friends, like, hey, we're going to have a big trips. I can't pay for this up front. Can somebody accept, like, payment plan type of a thing? And most of the friends, they're chill about
that. Exactly, because you want all the boys to be there at one point.
Yeah, and it's then maybe bring that up. It's like, look, if you're struggling, like, and you don't want to say anything, that's fine. We can do payment plans for you, or we can figure something out financially, but you have to carry your weight. You can't just keep...
But let us know on the front end.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't agree to pay a certain amount and then say, oh, well, actually, I only had this. Well, I only consume that much. Like, that's ridiculous. So, I agree.